right? All he had to do was bring his presence there. And, of course, we know we're the same way. Any time that we show up, God's presence is there because he lives inside of us. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of you when you've said yes, when you've accepted him as your Lord and your Savior. His Holy Spirit is given to us, and we walk in that power, and we walk in that authority. But I'm just going to be honest, man. This has been dumbed down over the generations where there's just been a lot of things that we don't see who we really are in Christ. We walk defeated. We walk beat up by our sins in our life, the things that so easily beset us. We let condemnation be the loudest voice in our life instead of reading the word that says, my sheep know me and they hear my voice. When I know and I hear that voice, then that's easy for me to follow. Well, I use an analogy a lot. One of the things I think of my kids, I was even talking to my daughter the other night, and I said, if I was in the other end of the house and I hollered out your name, do you know who I am? Well, absolutely. Why do you know? Because you know my voice. Because you're familiar with your Father. You've been around me. You're familiar with that. And it is no different in our Christian walk. If we are spending time with God, and you know, even that, like reading our Bible and praying every day, those types of things, to me growing up was like, this is your Christian duty, right? These are the things you have to be a good Christian. And it's like, no, that's just how I know God. When I get into the Word and I read the Bible, it's so I know him. And then my prayer simply becomes a communication to him. He's talking to me through his Word. Now I'm going to speak back to him through my mouth. And then I'm going to silence myself and then wait to hear back from him. That is what true prayer is. And, I mean, we have twisted this thing so much, and I see so many people treat God, I've heard it a couple different ways. The way I refer to him is a genie in a bottle. Like, people want to put their request and almost a hope, and not a hope that we know, but a hope of, like, maybe if I throw this up there, maybe you'll do something about it. Maybe you'll give me an answer. Maybe you'll give me some relief. That's not the word, man. Jesus didn't throw a prayer up and say, okay, God, maybe you'll do something here. When Jesus threw a prayer up, he knew that he was immediately going to see what he was calling forth with his mouth. He's the head. We are the body of Christ. We are connected in that. So just as Jesus walked, so are we to walk. And we sell ourselves so short because of the humanity of who we are. Jesus himself calls us to be perfect as he was perfect. But yet, how many times do I hear preach from a pulpit or taught or shared with others? We're just broken vessels. No, you were broken. And then you got fixed. And if you don't believe me, go read Colossians 2. And when you get into that and you see the true transformation of life that happens in that moment, the sinful nature that, yes, we were born with is circumcised out of us. It no longer exists. And those are things even in church that I didn't learn, I didn't realize, I didn't understand. I taught for a long time. We're dual-natured beings. You know, just like the old analogy where you have two wolves inside, and one's the good one, one's the bad one. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to be the strongest. Well, actually what Jesus did is come and shot the other one in the head. Like, he took out the other wolf. He doesn't exist, right? But if we believe that, if we apply our faith that something greater than he is living in us or around us, we're walking in a lie. Because the word is very clear. It's greater is he that is in us than anything that's in this world, man. So if we're walking in that, our lives can look like Jesus's lives. And there ain't too many people that talk about that. And I'll be honest, it was kind of weird coming out of my mouth the first few times, because I thought, how in the world can we walk this? But again, I go back, and I mentioned this earlier in Revelation. It says that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be coming back for a bride that is without spot and without wrinkle. And that is because we have finally come to a place where we have got over ourselves, and we have just given our hearts to the Father and allowed him to move through our lives in a way that brings, dare I say, perfection. The things that we see that were in Jesus' life, right? As a man, that's who he was. And I know that's a theological or a doctrinal argument right there in itself. Well, he was God and man. Go read the scriptures. Go read the scripture. He set aside all deity, right? He set that aside. And that gives me hope, because I'm that same guy. I am the guy that is only empowered by God's Spirit that lives inside of me, just as we see Jesus was that same guy. He was just the guy empowered by God's Spirit inside of him. And I am not dumbing down who Jesus was in saying that. That's the truth of the scripture and realizing that's who he was. Why? So you can see who you are too, man. Mm-hmm. The word doesn't just tell us about God. The word tells us about who we are created to be. And again, in analogies, I think this way. Say you have a TV and it goes out, right? And if that thing goes out, are you going to call Walmart and say, hey, my TV went out? Well, no, because they stock 500 TVs, right? They can't help you in anything. You have to call the guy that made the TV. You have to call the manufacturer. My TV's broke. How do I fix it? The Bible is no different. This is the manual for life. This is the owner's manual of the Creator himself who created you. And if there's something that you identify as broken in your life or that is not okay, then go to the writer of this story and say, you know what? This is not right in my life, but I want it to be. And some people think, you know, even when listening to Christians, we have this lingo I call Christianese, right? You get around a bunch of Christians and we can all talk to one another and we understand each other. But if you have a bystander that's not one, he's like, that's like listening to French or German. Like, he don't understand what the heck we're saying. And like the Christianese, I even tell Christians, be careful about that when you speak that way, because that brings confusion to people. Speak plain. Like, we're everyday people just like you guys are. We just know the Creator of the earth, right? We've accepted his Son, the only way that gives us that relationship back to him. Jesus stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come back to the Father unless it's through me. And he even gave me a revelation of that this week. I am the way. I get that. I have to accept Jesus as my Savior to be established in relationship back to God. I am the truth. Everything that he spoke was nothing other than what God spoke himself. God is not a man that he can lie. So everything that is said has to be truth, right? Mm. But then there was that third part. I'm the life. What does that mean? I don't even know that I'd ever even pondered that. And then in that moment, I am the life. What do we call this thing that we do every day? My life, right? I get up every day and I just do life. I am the way, the truth, but I am also that life. And when I allow him in and I believe the truth of his word and stop in those places where my mind says, well, I don't really agree with that. Well, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what your mind doesn't agree with. You conform mm-hmm. the mind to the truth of the word. You do not conform the word to the truth that you have set up in your mind. And, you know, again, that's the way I teach with people. The only thing that you're told to do after your salvation is to renew your mind. That's it. Because you lived up until that point in a way, and you thought a certain way. The sinful nature, God took care of that himself. You do nothing to remove that from who you are. God does that supernaturally as a circumcision. When you say yes, the sinful nature is automatically removed from your life. It no longer has power or influence in your life. But thoughts definitely do, which is why it's important, like we talked about earlier, understand I must know the voice of my Father if I'm going to follow, mm-hmm. right? If we were in a dark room and all I had was my ability to hear, I could still follow someone through the dark because they could just speak and I know and I'm going to follow. And sometimes I know that's what that life feels like. There's been times in my life, man, where I didn't know I couldn't see the next step in front of me. And as a matter of fact, I'm kind of right there again when we're talking about this, the fivefold ministry, or the fivefold training center. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I didn't know 3 months ago I was going to be the owner of this building that God was going to move in and God is going to build up and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I didn't know that, but here I am. And I don't know when it's going to be finished, but here I am. It does not deter me from the course that he has called me to in my life, and I'm going to continue to walk this thing out. And so kind of, I know I've went into a lot of teaching and got off a lot on the building. So let me get back to the building real quick in that. So I closed that sign shop down, just walked out cold turkey and locked the doors. I've tried to help my customers out as much as can, getting them their artworks and things like that. But I've just put my time and efforts into getting that thing built because I have just an excitement inside of me to see what God is going to do in this place. Our home is outgrowing itself. Like I said, we meet there on Wednesday evenings, and we're just getting so many people in there where we're outgrowing the space. And it's been amazing. I wouldn't change it for the world. I love having people in my home, but I just know this is going to be bigger than what my little living room can hold, because God is fixing to do something. And if you are tuning your ears to the voices of those prophets, because they are speaking today, there is something just, I used to say, right around the corner. It's not even around the corner anymore. It's here. It is here, and it's time for us to walk in it. It's time for us to see the truth of the word, to step up and say, God, I see who you've called my life to be. And as a matter of fact, I submit my life to you, and I just allowing you to speak, to move, to say, to love, whatever you require of my life, I just say yes. And sit back and realize, that's my best life. That's my best life. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go out and work. I can make all the money that I could ever make. I could do all those things. And matter of fact, go interview some of those guys that have done that, or gals that have done that, and still sit empty inside. Still have no peace. Still have no just general chill about their life, right? They are so jacked up, anxiety and worry and fear and all those things, and they have more zeros in the bank than anybody could spend, right? Mm-hmm. What good does that do? We don't store up our treasures here on earth. We should be doing things that are storing up treasures elsewhere, right? In heaven, those things that God has called us to do here, if we do those things, we will live our best life. You will walk this life satisfied, fulfilled, and whole. And I know that's a message for today, because there are so many people out there that are hearing me say those words and saying, man, I want that so bad. I just want that. I don't even believe in that Jesus guy that you're talking about, because I've seen Christians and I've seen the way they treat each other. I've seen how they treat me, right? I know, I felt their judgment. I felt their condemnation. And for today, I'm here to say, as a representative of Christ's body, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you've been treated that way. But we're here to show you something different. And I say we because I know this isn't just me. As I conversate with people, as I see people come through my home and meet in public and things like this, where I just get to meet people and see and hear their hearts. God is calling his body to a new place. God is calling us to step up and out of this murky, ugly world and be something different, and for people to look at that and see, oh my gosh, that's what true love is. Can I come be a part of that? And at no point would any of us ever look back and say, no, you can't, because look at what you've done. We would say, absolutely, get over here now. Let me put my arms around you. Let me shed tears with you, and let's walk this thing together. So if you are out there walking in hopelessness, being lost in fear and in worry and anxiety, all of those things, Jesus Christ is your answer. I promise. And I'll have those people that say, prove it. I can't. I could sit here and talk all day long. I could do an 8-hour radio show, and I would never convince you that Jesus is the answer. But this is what I can tell you, that the owner wrote in his manual: taste and see that the Lord is good. If you will just take one bite, you will find out that God will move in your heart in ways that you never thought possible. And he will bring you something that your mind could never wrap itself around, or nothing that even a pastor such as myself could explain in a way that it would get your heart, right? I'm going to do my job. I'm going to say the things that I need to say. As a matter of fact, in that scripture there that I read in Ephesians earlier, in 4 and 12, it actually says, of these fivefold ministry, it says their responsibility is to equip God's people for his work, right? And this is what I'm saying today. I take the responsibility because I know I'm called into the fivefold ministry. And I don't need to put a title on a business card or even say those things, but I know exactly where I fit here. And that's something even God's working in my heart right now. You know, I'm not here to shout from the mountaintops, oh, this is what I am in this fivefold, because it doesn't matter, dude. What matters is God. I'm not here to build a name for Jason Mung. I'm here to build the name of Jesus Christ. And I will function according to his word and what he has called my life to, because I know I am in the fivefold, and I take it, my responsibility, to equip God's people. That's the rest of the body, right? And I understand not all Christians are going to fall in this fivefold ministry gifting. You're not. There are some of us that God calls us to other things. But again, if we don't get into the Word to know who we are, how are we going to know that? Familiarize yourself with the voice of God, because then any other voice that speaks and you see it's contrary to what God has already said in His Word, toss it, man. You know, that's not from Him. And then when you start hearing Him speak through His Spirit inside of you, you recognize that voice, because I've just chilled there. I've hung out there. I've just been in that time with Him and listened to what He had to say to me and poured out my heart's request to Him, but still also make that time to hear back what He has to say. God is not my genie in a bottle. I do not throw up my request hoping that when the dial turns, the right thing drops out, right? No. I ask according to His Word. And what does He say when I do that? He's going to give it to me. Just like today, we prayed for people. You know what God's going to do for these people's life? He's going to give them healing. Why? Because my heart is aligned with His and I ask for it. That's the truth of the Word. Amen. Right?
Amen.
That's the truth of the Word. And we as Christians need to step up and realize that as the things that I speak, Jesus established the kingdom of God when He came here. And it is our job to sustain it while He is not here. We as the body are here to sustain the kingdom of God as here on earth right now until He returns for His bride. So the fivefold ministry, this building will be opening coming soon. I'm not sure when, but just as God moves the funding in for that, He's moved people in for that. And I'm telling you, man, it's just amazing, because I don't want to keep people on the spot, but I can't not tell the story. So I'm getting bids, right? So I'm getting bids for this or that or the other. And just to keep things anonymous, I get a call the other day. I'm like, I need a bid for this. How much is it going to cost me? So the guy comes and looked, and we discussed some things. And I said, we're not quite ready to do this, but when we are, I want to give you a call. And he said, you have called the right guy, because I got to share this story while we were sitting here visiting about the work that needs to be done. And he said, you've called the right guy, because when you're ready to do this, we're going to do this. And it's just like every step along the way, it's just like God is, and this is what I told him too. And it's like, and even what he told me he was going to do in our conversation, I'm going to bring you the people, because what I see, these fivefold ministry gifts are going to come together. You're going to see pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists. You're going to see them come to that place, and we're going to put our efforts together and build up and equip the body of Christ, the saints, for the work of what? Ministry. We have got it all wrong when we have looked at the model of men when it comes to church. Go back to the New Testament. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and calling them some pretty nasty things, do you realize that was the church? That was the church of the day? And I dare to say we have gotten just as far off in building the things of men instead of focusing on the things of God. And we have built buildings that are now sitting as idols before something that is not Yahweh, the God of this universe. And that is a very bold statement, but it is so true. And again, I'm not an outsider looking in and throwing judgments. I'm on the inside. I've grown up. I've lived in this system. I've grown up in church my entire life, and I see that we are missing it from the truth of the gospel. And we need to set aside ourselves. We need to fall on our knees in repentance before God and say, man, this is a call to pastors. If you are standing behind a pulpit with your agenda, hit your knees. Lay your agenda aside and ask God to come move in the midst of your family, and I promise He will. He will. If you caught the revival that's coming up through Mainstream Baptist Church, Larry Parvin, love that guy to death. We've got acquainted through sign work over the years. But just love the guy's heart, man. And he's kind of one of those guys, he just, there ain't no bones about it, man. He's going to tell you how it is, right? And I love that. Go share in these things. I don't care what denomination you are. If the body of Christ is gathering in this town, go be with them. Go hang out with them. Go get to know them, right? We've been conditioned and taught, oh, well, this is where your name is on a card at. Big whoop-de-doo. Like, if you want, if you sign your name on a card somewhere, great. Do you not go visit your relatives and your friends elsewhere? You know? Let's create something where we function as a body of Christ instead of a building of denomination. And again, I am not here today sitting on this microphone beating up denominations. I'm not. But what I am encouraging you to do is I'm hitting you at the core of who you really are. You're not an assembly of God. You're not a Baptist. You're not a Church of Christ. You are not those things first. What you are is a Christian, Christ-like one. That is who you are first. And so let's make that our highest goal. Let's make loving one another our highest goal so that when the world sees us, oh gosh, like we got 3, 4, 5, 6 denominations getting here together and having a cookout and loving on one another. That's freaking amazing. You know? And the world will see that. And by this, they'll know who God is. Because we're showing our differences. We're setting them aside, man. It doesn't matter. That's not the most important thing. And so this building that I am currently in the process of putting together is just that right there. I'm cultivating an environment. So if you've got 5 ladies that, hey, we meet at the coffee shop or whatever, and we've lost that or whatever, if you need a place to come gather with your people to share and love on people, there's your place. I want you to come hang out. I want you to utilize that space. This is not going to be open at Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings for a service. This is going to be utilized 4 to 5 days a week, maybe even more. This is just what I see in my mind. We'll see when we get there. Because like I said, some days I'm just waking up saying, God, what do I do today? Like, what's the step for me to take today? But my what I see in this, God has given me such a big vision for this. And I know it's a little place over there, but this is going to be a place where homeless have a place to lay their head. If they come through this town and they don't have something, there's a place where they can shower and wash and lay their head at night, right? There will be places where I see community gardening. We have a big place in the back where I just plant a big old garden back there. And community comes over. And if you need some food, then you grab it. And if you've got 5 minutes to pull up some weeds, do that too while you're there. Truly build a community. You know, look back 100 years ago. This is how we used to live with one another, even when we weren't Christians. You know, we were neighborly. We cared for one another. And nowadays, society itself has pushed us to a place where it were so solitude. We want to be by ourselves and pulling away. And anxiety and fear and worry definitely push you in those places. You want to pull back from anything and everybody, right? So how are we going to combat that? I'm just going to cultivate an environment where that doesn't exist. I'm going to cultivate an environment where when you show up there, you're going to feel the love of Christ. Why? Because he lives in so many people that are there. And these fivefold giftings are going to be there. And in the church, you know, we've had this thing where we think that it's the pastors and the teachers and all those that are called to the ministry. No, they have a ministry. But that ministry is actually to you, the body of Christ, to build you up so you get out there and get after the ministry. Right? And I've seen statistics in the American Christian Church. The pastor of a church literally carries about 80% of the load of all of the programs, all of the things that need to be done. Only 20% of the rest of the body will actually step up and start to take hands and put hands on those things to help, to assist, right? And you'll ring true. If you go to church, this will ring true to you. Because how hard is it for you to find volunteers to fill a spot, right? Like, that's something you hear from every church you attend. We need people. We need people. And you know why? It's because we're doing it under a man's structure, a man's ABC and 1-2-3 plan, instead of just showing up and saying, I guess what? I love kids. Like, I would love to go back there and hang out with them and share what God's been sharing with me. Great. Sounds like that's your place, right? Build those people up. Equip them. Let them be who God created them to be, and stop qualifying or disqualifying people because you want to look in their lives and say, well, yeah, you'll be a good fit there, or no, you won't be a good fit there. But rather listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to say, this is what I'm calling this person to do. So let's just make a space for them to do that. And that is what I foresee in this fivefold training center building. Again, I don't know. I'm hoping by this summer I'll have this thing put together. Demolition is about pretty much finished. I'm putting it back together. If you don't mind, I'll share a couple of my contact ways they can get a hold of me. Yeah. So Facebook is a really good way to get a hold of me. Just Jason Mung on Facebook. Been there a long time, so it won't be hard to find me. Right now I'm keeping stuff updated and posted on there when it comes to the building. Things that we have is just kind of like work days. If there's some cleanup that needs to be done, or if there's a skill set that you have that you could apply and would be willing to do that, reach out to me. Again, this is not a one-man show. What I have prayed is that God would send people, that God would send his body together, and let's do something that we have never seen done before right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Let's see something put together, not by me out there banging the streets, asking people for money and doing all these to support my cause. It's not about that. It's about the body of Christ coming together and putting something together that is God's, no one else's. And so I'm so excited to see that happen. And so I just reach out to the body of Christ. Connect with me. If you have something that we should talk about, let's talk about it. And I want to see what God has to do in this way. And I foresee that by this summer that thing will be a usable facility and we can start to put that thing together. There's also an addition that's there that is pretty much bare bones that will just pretty much be from scratch. We can put it together how we like. And I would love to hear from people who want to be a part of something like this. You know, I would love to do that. I'm at the helm a little bit. I'm at the helm of this thing, but that doesn't mean that I'm in charge, because I ain't in charge. God is in charge of this thing. And I've asked him this, to do this in a way that would just floor us all. And so I expect that. I walk in that expectation to see him do that. Jason Mung on Facebook. I also do have a Rumble channel. That is Firewalker77. There are several of them out there that have got lots of sevens, but I'm only 2-7. Firewalker77. That'll be my handle on Rumble. We do weekly teachings on Wednesday nights. We're starting to post those on that Rumble channel. So that's something that you can get familiar with us as a home group and with this body that we're connected with right now. But that's about it.
I want to touch on a few things.
You bet.
That you said, you mentioned how we need to get away from qualifying, you know?
Right.
God doesn't call the qualified.
Right.
He qualifies whom he calls.
Right.
That really, I'm a sissy for the Lord, brother.
Yep.
And the Lord has to remind me, no throat punching allowed.
Right.
And he reminds me to keep the hammer down. I'm not allowed to go around and hammer people. And I'm not allowed to throat punch. I'm that one.
Right.
But I'm his.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
And when I got invited to this Hour of Power, to the Rock Christian Music almost 5 years ago, I was borderline death.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was ready. I was there. I was so done. But God.
Yeah.
I knew absolutely nothing about this stuff here.
Right.
The control panel, the controls, and the programs, I knew nothing.
Right.
But Miss Neva being so patient and love of the Lord, she welcomed me.
Right.
She welcomed me here. And the Lord has just used this table, this ministry, to transform my life.
Yeah.
I had some BS problems. Excuse you. Belief system. Excuse us. I had some belief system issues.
Yeah.
I believed that Christianity was for them. I didn't believe. And I truly didn't believe God could love me. Because I accepted Christ in the fourth grade. And then life happened.
Right.
And I cut the cord. I turned my back on my God. But he didn't turn his back on me.
That's right.
And this Bible, it's now my most valuable treasure.
Yeah.
It is my treasure. It is my basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand when I tried to read it before. It was like reading stuff from the Peanuts.
Right.
Wah, 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 wah. I mean, that's what I felt like.
Right.
But coming back to Christ, turning back, and turning away from the old lifestyle that I lived. I understand it because the Holy Spirit has opened it for me.
Right.
And I can, when I come up to something that I don't understand, he helps me understand.
Right.
He gives me the understanding that I need. And it just blows me away. And I was doing a Bible study. And I was talking to God, and I was really curious. And so I asked him, I said, Lord, who do you say I am? Who am I to you, Lord? What am I to you, and who am I to you? Help me. See me the way you see me. Back up. Okay. When I came back to Christ, he told me, and this is what I tell people, especially my grandkids and my children. The Lord told me, you will never look into the eyes of someone that I don't love.
Correct.
And desire a proper, right relationship with.
Right. That's awesome.
And I've used that, and I've told my kid, and I tell my grandkids, no one on this earth will love you as much as the Lord.
Right.
Nothing, and no one will love you like the Lord.
Right.
So put that first. And then move from there.
Yeah. And live your best life.
Yeah. And when I asked, I got brave. And asked the Lord, who am I to him? And I heard him say, you are my fire walking, tongue talking child. And that borderline freaked me out. I had to go to my pastors and say, okay, so I think it's a good thing because I felt something jump, but I'm not sure. So I talked to my pastor, and she said, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of that. It's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not. That's not a bad thing. I'm that one. Would you like to end us in prayer, sir? Any final words or anything?
Let's just pray. Okay. Father, I thank you for the words that you've given us today. And Father, I'm so thankful for the opportunity just to get to share what you've been saying to me, encouraging those that are out there. Father, I just sick your Holy Spirit on those that desire you, and even those that may even have their face against you. Father, no man can come to the Father unless your Spirit draws them. And Father, I thank you that today we're living in a day that you are drawing men to you like never before. Father, I thank you that you are waking up the body of Christ, Father, that they would get out there, and just as she shared in this story, that they would know who they are because you start speaking to them, God. You start letting them know who they are. And Father, for these people who you have called into the fivefold ministry, Father, some of them have ran from it. Some of them, life has gotten so hard that they've just pulled back and decided they were done. They were finished. It was too much. But Father, I thank you for their second wind. I thank you, Father, that you're blowing a breath of fresh air into their life today. Father, those who are pastors, who are teachers, who are apostles, who are prophets, who are evangelists, Father, I thank you that you are breathing fresh air into them today, Father, that their spirits would be revived from within, Father. I'm just reminded out of the scripture in Matthew where it says, where John the Baptist is talking about, he baptizes into repentance, right? But he says, there's one who's coming after me that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I read that scripture many years ago, and I looked at it, and I said, I don't even know what that means. But your word says it, so I want it. And I can tell you today, I have such a greater understanding of what that means in my life. And maybe just as an encouragement for those of you that are out there, that are hearing the words from my voice today. If you're reading the things in the Bible and you say, man, my life just doesn't look like that, I want you to know that that's okay. In the simplicity of this prayer alone, Father, my life doesn't look like that, but I want it to. So, Father, thank you for leading my life in that direction. And it doesn't matter if you're called into a fivefold or if you're just called into the ministry of the gospel. Because if you are a Christian, you're called into the ministry of the gospel. Your life is a testimony to be lived and shared, to spread hope so that people around you will know who God is, who Jesus Christ is. So, Father, I just thank you for empowering, for moving on people's lives today, as Father, as they've just taken some time to set aside and listen to a word of encouragement today. And I'm thankful, Father, that you have used my voice, that you've used my life today. And Monica and Tina, Father, I just thank you for what you've called each and every one of us to. And Father, we thank you for the fruit that is going to bear from the things that have been done today. We thank you that they've fallen on good soil in the hearts of many today. We just thank you for your love for us, God. We are just in awe of who you are. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go back and rewatch this. It was good, y'all. It was so good. God is so good. We appreciate you taking the time and coming, sir.
You bet. I'm glad y'all had me today. It was awesome.
It was great. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm just a sissy for the Lord, and I'm not sorry. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Jason Monk, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find the rock Christian music and take us with you everywhere.